Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, the 43rd Psalm, and in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 619. We'll read the entire 43rd Psalm of five verses, and then there are a couple of verses from the preceding Psalm, the 42nd Psalm, that we'll read together as well. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. The verses of the 43rd Psalm we'll read responsively. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Now let's read together the fifth verse. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And let's read together the fifth verse of Psalm 42. Ready? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And verse 11 together. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And let's pray. And Father, you've given us a good day. Thank you for this place. How we marvel that you've done such a great work in this place with these people, and how you continue to do a wonderful work. How we praise for the work of thy Spirit now here among us. Help us to be obedient to the control of thy Spirit. Help our preacher and bless him with the power of thy Spirit, and make everything concerning the day all that you choose it to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, thou hast brought us to this place again, and thou hast given us a book that is inexhaustible in its truths, in its power. I pray you'd help us as we examine just a portion of it this morning. Speak to our hearts. Alert the people to attend to the words of the preacher. Alert the preacher to thyself. In Jesus' name, amen. Anytime God says anything one time in the Bible, you mark it down, it's true. Only takes one time for God to say something to make it true. If God chooses to say that thing twice, you can mark it down, it is unusually true. I mean, it's unusually important. There are very few things in the Bible that God says more than twice. If God mentions something three times, the same statement of the Bible, for example, he mentions a statement, the just shall live by faith, three times, in Habakkuk 2, in Romans 1, and Galatians 3. But it's almost unbelievable when in two small chapters of 16 total verses, God makes the same statement three times. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He says the same thing six verses later. He says the same thing five verses later. I want to speak this morning on the subject, why am I cast down? The truth is, David was discouraged. It happens to everybody. It happened to Jeremiah. Jeremiah became discouraged. He said, I'm not going to preach anymore in his name. I'm going to quit. I'm going to get me a little place out in the woods where I can just go and relax, and I'm not going to preach anymore in his name. But after he had done that for a while, he said, the word of God burned in my bones like a fire, and I could not contain myself. I said Jeremiah became discouraged. It happened to Elijah. After Elijah had prayed down the fire from heaven and had won the great battle with Jezebel and her prophets, Elijah became discouraged and went and stayed under the juniper tree and thought he was the only one left. It happened to Jonah after the great victory at Nineveh and the great revival at Nineveh. Jonah got discouraged, went out the edge of town and sat there and complained and had a pity party for a while. It happened to Peter. After Peter, by the beast, please step down back in the back if you would, please. It happened to Peter. Peter became discouraged and he quit and went back to fishing once again. It happened to Moses in our lesson this morning in Numbers chapter 11. It happened to Moses. Moses said, I just as soon die. He said, the people that thou hast given me are complaining. He became discouraged. He said, I've got more than I can do. I can't do everything I have to do. And discouragement settled. It happened to everybody in the Bible. And by the way, it happens to you. There are times when you become discouraged. It happened to David in our story this morning. David was discouraged. And by the way, if ever a man had a right to be discouraged, it was David in our study this morning. Look at me and follow me carefully. David had a son whose name was Absalom. Absalom decided that he was going to become the king. He started a rebellion against his father. He gathered some of his father's own men to fight against his dad in order to take over the throne, the scepter, and the crown. David would not fight against his son Absalom. He simply would not. So he fled from the city, went out to the edge of town or a little town outside in the suburbs, and he sat there and he watched the dust of battle, realizing that his son was fighting for his own throne. Now, David had many reasons why he could be discouraged. David, in the first place, his own son had become his enemy, and that's beyond comprehension to any of us. But in the second place, he was about to lose his throne. He may not be king. The hand of the scepter that he had once wielded may not be for his hand anymore. The crown that he once wore may not be for his brow anymore. The robe that was his may not rest on his shoulders again. The throne that was his may not be his to sit on again. And David became discouraged. Then there came an old man named Barzillai. Real, real old man. Probably 63 years old or so. This man was 80 years of age. He came to David one day. Now, get the picture. Here's a discouraged David sitting in a little town outside the city of Jerusalem, watching the dust of battle as it rises from the battle caused by his own son's rebellion against himself. And there sits David, discouraged. And the old man Barzillai, 80 years of age, comes up and is a messenger of God to bring David some food to eat and encourage his heart. And then David asks himself the question. Now follow me carefully. David asks himself the question, why am I cast down? Why am I discouraged? There's no need for it, he said. So much to be happy about. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? David was shocked at himself. David could not believe that he was discouraged. And all of a sudden it dawned on David, I have so much to thank God for. Why should I be discouraged? So he begins to analyze, and let me show you the progression of his analyzing. The first thing David did, he realized he was discouraged. That's the first thing you've got to do. Look at it and face it. I'm discouraged. He admitted he was discouraged. Now, the second thing he did, I already said it, he admitted he was discouraged. David said, and by the way, he didn't know it at first. All of a sudden, David said, well, I'll declare, I'm discouraged. And it shocked him. And David, first he admitted, he realized he was discouraged, and then he admitted he was discouraged. And then number three, and by the way, I'm going through these points real rapidly, but don't get your hopes up. We will slow down between some of the points as we go on down to point 85, point 86, point 87, and so forth. But number one, he realized that he was discouraged. Number two, he admitted he was discouraged. And number three, he was surprised. He said, how in the world could I be down? I am the king. Why should I be down? I am God's child. Why should I be down? God is my father. Why should I be discouraged?
He could not understand it. And I think he said also, maybe it's not like me. David was the happy, psalm-singing, harp-playing king. And David said, it's not like me to be down and be discouraged. Now listen, there are a lot of discouraged folks in this room this morning. And if you're not discouraged now, you will get discouraged. And I want to tell you some things about David. He was surprised by it. Now, number four, he told nobody. He told nobody. Now, you'd have gone and picked up the phone and called somebody. And talked and talked and told them why you're discouraged and dug yourself deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. When you get discouraged, don't tell, I'm just down there. Shut up. I'm not trying to get you to do it for my sake. I'm talking about your sake. But we go pick the telephone up, call somebody, and tell somebody we're discouraged. No, the more you talk about your discouragement, the more discouraged you're going to get. David did not go to anybody. And number five, he sought the cause. Now listen carefully. David said, why am I cast down? He said, I've got to find out why. Now look, David wanted to know what caused it. Why am I cast down? He sought the cause. All right? Let's put it this way. Maybe he said, where have I been? Where have I been that caused me to become cast down? Or maybe he said, with whom have I been? With whom have I... There are certain people, I don't stay around very long. They discourage me. And I don't want to be discouraged. I want to be on top. You need me to be on top all the time. And I want to be on top. I want to walk out that door there on top side all the time. So I go around certain people. Maybe you've noticed, some of you. I go around you when I see you. And have you noticed that? But David said, why am I cast down? Now, one of the most important things in the world for you to realize is you've got to figure, before you get back on top, you've got to figure out why you're down. You see, circumstances ought not to determine whether you're up or down or not. And you ought to be take a scientific study about yourself. Why am I cast down? That's what David said. Why am I cast down? Now, I've got to find out the cause so it can't happen again. Why am I cast down? I'm going to find out, let's see, where have I been? Maybe I shouldn't go there again. With whom have I been? Maybe I shouldn't be with them so much. Or, what have I been thinking about? I'll tell you what, that's one of the great secrets to my life. What have I been thinking about? If I come to a day and I say to myself, this has not been a good day. I want to find out what I did, so I won't have to do it again. If I come to the end of a day and say, boy, I feel great today, I want to find out what I did so I can make another one. Now listen to me. You don't have to let circumstances determine whether you're up or down. You can decide. So David said, why am I cast down? What's the reason? He said, I don't understand myself. I'm cast down. He was shocked. He was surprised. Now he said, I've got to figure out why. I've got to figure out why. He said, now, where have I been? With whom have I been? What have I been thinking about? Hey, what have I been reading? What have I been reading? Or what have I been doing? What have entered my mind? I said a while ago, certain people depress me to be around them. Certain things, thoughts depress me. I must not think about those things. I must not linger long with people who depress me. For example, I know this. Hey, I know this. If I talk on the telephone about my problems, I'm in trouble. I know that. By the way, I know another thing too. So are you. So not me. Not me. No way, Jose. I don't do that. I just don't do it. No, sir. No. Look, I want to be on top side. When you see me, I want to be on top side. When I walk in this pulpit, I want to be on top side. You need me to be on top side. You need somebody to walk in this pulpit every day, every Sunday morning and Sunday night, and not tell you about his burdens or his problems and not whine and complain. Have a pity party. You need somebody to stand up here every Sunday morning and say, hey, folks, everything's all right in my Father's house. You need that. Now, if you need that, I've got to be responsible for being that. If I'm responsible for being that, I've got to find out what discourages me and avoid it. Now, something else he did. I said, number one, he realized it. I said, number two, he admitted it. I said, number three, he was surprised by it. I said, number four, he told no one. I said, number five, he sought the cause. Number six, he corrected it. Now, listen to me. Why in the name of common sense you go around floating around wondering why you're discouraged? Well, why don't you find out why you're discouraged? Find out what brings you down. Find out what makes you feel bad. Find out what depresses you. He corrected it. How did he correct it? In the first place, he corrected it with logic and praise. Every time he mentions, why am I cast down? Listen to this. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Again he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Again he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. David said, soul, why am I cast down? And David analyzed and found out why he was cast down. And how did David come out of it? By having a praise party. By throwing and having a praise spell. Now you listen to me. You criticize all you want to the people that holler amen and glory to God. But I guarantee you one thing, nothing will bring you out of the doldrums and out of your discouragement, out of your pity party, like an old-fashioned praising God. Now, you listen, David stopped and looked. He said, God's been good to me. Why am I cast down? I'm a child of God. Why am I cast down? My name is written in heaven. Why am I cast down? The heavenly God is my heavenly Father. Why am I cast down? Jesus is my Savior. Why am I cast down? The Holy Spirit lives in my body. Why am I cast down? He's building a home for me in heaven right now. Why am I cast down? I have access to the throne of grace to bring my petition in time of need. Why am I cast down? I have God's eternal word right here in my hand. David said, I don't understand it. I mean, here I'm looking to battle. I'll be looking at God's word. I've got my heart on my burdens and problems. I ought to think about how good God is. Let me tell you something. Dr. Jack Hiles, with all of his problems, all of his burdens, all of his sorrows, doesn't have any reason to feel sorry for himself. And neither do you. I mean, God has been good to me. My Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I see a man shaking his head in the front row right here. All the service has been shaking his head. His wife passed away just a few hours ago. He's got two little girls to rear. If he doesn't want them, I'll take them. Two little girls to rear. Sitting right there on the front. You know why he's on the front? He's got to have strength this morning. He's got to have courage this morning. David said, why in the world should I be downcast? And I say to you, why in the world should you be downcast? Why don't you go pick up your phone this afternoon and call somebody and say, I just wanted to call you to tell you, praise God. Hallelujah. How good God's been to me. Oh, but you don't know what happened to me. You know what happened to me? Well, I understand one thing that happened. You got saved one day, didn't you? No talking, young people. But Brother House, I got problems. You also got a home in heaven. But Brother Hiles, I'm broke. Well, where are you going to go? They pave the streets with gold. Look, all of us are going to have an attack of depression sometime, but we don't have to keep it. David said, I know the battle is on. I know my throne is tottering. I know my son is fighting against me. But David said, that still doesn't give me a right to cast down. Why am I cast down? Why am I discouraged? I mentioned a while ago, 100th Psalm, enter into his courts with praise. That's talking about the tabernacle. That great portable house of God in the wilderness. You entered into the courts of the tabernacle. And once the offering was offered, you went then to the laver. And that was the place of cleansing. And then you went inside the tabernacle itself. On your left, you saw the golden candlestick. That's the light of the tabernacle. On your right, you saw the table of showbread. That's where the 12 loaves of bread were displayed. And right in front of you, you saw the altar of incense. Now follow me carefully. That laver represents cleansing. That golden candlestick represents soul winning, lifting up Jesus, the light of the world. That altar, that table of showbread represents the Word of God. And that altar of incense represents prayer. And what God is saying is this. When you come to the place of cleansing, you come praising God. Don't you just come, well, I know I'm supposed to give up the movies and supposed to give up my drinking and supposed to give up my rock music, and I'll give it up if it kills me. Oh, the Bible said you come praising. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and his gates of thanksgiving and his courts of praise. Walk up and say, bless God, I get to give up something for Jesus. Hallelujah! He gave his all for me. I'll gladly give something for him. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Rejoice that you get to be clean for Jesus. Rejoice that you get to separate yourself from the heathen world for Jesus Christ. Now on the left side as you walk in was the candlestick. That's soul winning. Pray. Listen, you go soul winning and say, good morning. How are you, beloved? Have you been regenerated with the blood of Jesus? Have you been washed in the precious blood? They'll call and have you admitted before noon. You walk up somewhere and you say, I've got some wonderful news to tell you. I'd like to tell you the most wonderful thing that happened to me. My life was full of sin and misery, but one day somebody told me about the most wonderful person in the world. His name is Jesus Christ. I'd like to tell you how good he is and how wonderful he is. And this old sin-cursed, heart-sick world will look up and say, okay, we'd like to
go back to the 126th Psalm. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like in the dream.
Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Where are we led? What am I saying? I'm saying we ought to praise God for separation and praise God for soul winning and praise God for the book and praise God for prayer. And then you can say with David, I have no right to be cast down. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, if I could walk up on this platform 3 times a week and do nothing more than lift you up and make you stop and realize what you have in Jesus Christ, my ministry would be worthwhile here. Why am I cast down? He corrected it. I said, number one, he realized it. I said, number two, he admitted it. I said, number three, he was surprised because he was cast down. I said, number four, he told nobody. I said, number five, he sought the cause. I said, number six, he corrected it. Now, not only did he correct it by praise and logic, but he corrected it by the Word of God. In fact, if you'll check carefully, in all three of these cases, he turns to the Word of God and he quotes in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, he quotes the Bible. Now listen, you don't believe this, but nothing will cheer you up like the Bible. Now, you don't believe it, or you'd read it. You got to turn some harlot from Hollywood on, try to cheer you up. I mean, the Cosby Show won't cheer you up like the Word of God will cheer you up. He said, what's wrong with me? Why am I cast down? And then he turned to the Scripture and began to quote the Scripture. I'm weak. I just take Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ and throw it at the devil. When I have financial difficulties, I just take Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I throw it at the devil. When I'm under attack, I take 1 John 2:17. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I throw it at the devil. When I'm lonely, I take Hebrews 13:5. I'll never forsake thee, be I forsake thee, and throw it at the devil. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible works. It works. Why am I cast down? He said, I don't understand me. I'm a child of God. I'm one of God's own. My name is written in heaven. Why in the world should I be cast down? And I'll tell you what, sometimes if I get a little down, I say the same thing. Why in the world should I be cast down? I'm letting a few people with long tongues cause my whole life to be wrecked. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to praise God. You know, they're preparing a home right now in heaven for me. Just got one whole room full of Reese's peanut butter cups. Not one single calorie in one of them, praise God. Not one. I'm simply saying, right now, at this very moment, God's preparing a home for me. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. Why should I be discouraged? David said, why should I be cast down? I often get back up by singing the Bible. My singing discourages you, but it encourages me. I was in Tallahassee, Florida. And I had a decision I had to make, and it was a tough one. And I didn't know how to make it, and I was wrestling with a decision I had to make. And all of a sudden, I was walking down the concourse to catch an airplane on a Wednesday morning, and I began to quote Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I kept on quoting it. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You take one little scripture like that and hang on to it and quote it over and over again. It'll cheer you up. You know what you do? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I just quote it over and over again. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. You know, this old world's looking for some Christians who are happy. It's looking for some churches that aren't fussing all the time. And some Christians that have the joy of God in their soul. I'll tell you something. You say, Brother House, it's hard to win, folks. I don't think so. I win 2 people out of every 3 I try to win. You know why? Because I'm happy. I'll sing it. I'll tell it. Wherever I go, I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow. For I've been born again. So I began to quote that passage. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I was walking briskly down the corridor of the airport. I began to chant it, and the cadence. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And I put a little tune to it. Don't know where I got it, but I started singing. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And I'm about to have a spell right there in the airport. And I walked and I quoted, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge. I'm getting stronger right now. I may just leap tall buildings with a bounce right here this morning. And he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways, sing it, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct. And you're smiling right now. And you've forgotten that your mother-in-law is about to take your wife home. Maybe that's why you're smiling. You thought about it. But you've forgotten about it. Oh, let me tell you something. Get your mind on the Word of God. David said, why am I cast down? David said, I'm discouraged. I'm stunned. This is not like me. I've got to pull out of this. What's caused it? Hey, how can I get out of it? I know. I'll just praise God and get in the Bible. That's what he said. Tell you, by the time I got on an airplane, I wanted to witness. I wanted to tell about Christ. I wanted to shout, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him. I preached that sermon one time on Proverbs 3:6, and I sang it through about 50 times in the sermon. And one little boy came up after it was over and said, Brother Hiles, which one of those tunes was the right one? I got a note this morning under my door. Lady said, Dear Brother Hiles, I haven't been in church for a while. I can't wait to hear you preach again so I can have my spirits lifted. Can't wait. You know how you get your spirits lifted? The blessed Word of God. And you praise God. And look at how good God's been to you. Hey, is your son fighting against you this morning? Hey, are you losing everything you have? Hey, are you out yonder alone, away from your town, and your job's about to be taken, and everything you have is about to be taken, and your house is about to be taken, and your sons rebel? Are you that bad off? If you're not that bad off, you might take David as an example and get back on top side. I was in Ohio preaching. I preached on Monday night. I thought we had a good service. I thought I did an unusually good job. Went back to my room that night, watching the late movie. I was praying, reading my Bible. About 11 o'clock, the phone rang. I picked it up and said, Hello. I just thought that'd be a good thing to say. And the pastor was on the other end of the line. He said, Dr. Hiles, you'll not be preaching tomorrow. I said, What are you talking about? I'm supposed to preach tomorrow morning to you and again tomorrow night. He said, No, you'll not preach either time.
And I said, why? He said, because you said some things tonight that were not what I believe. And I said, son, you better listen to me. You're a young man. I said, I don't want to preach for you tomorrow. I want to get on the plane and go back home. I don't want to face you or your people tomorrow morning or tomorrow night. But I said, there are people from all over Ohio and Michigan coming to hear me preach tomorrow morning. It's going to hurt you if I don't preach. I don't want to, but it's going to hurt you. And I said, I don't want to see you hurt. And I said, why don't we have an agreement that I'll preach for you tomorrow morning and tomorrow night. We'll shake hands. I'll never preach for you again. But that'll keep you from having trouble, because you're going to have trouble. Word's going to spread around that you didn't let Dr. Howes preach. And I said, I've got a lot of friends here going to come, and it's going to hurt you. And I got friends in your church, and you're going to lose them. So he said, okay. Now, how would you like to go preach the next morning? And as I walked in my room that night, wishing I were home, I turned to Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I started quoting it, and then I started singing. And we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And we know, yes, we know, we don't think, but we know. We don't hope, but we know. We don't wish, but we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And I got up on the bed and started jumping up and down. And we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Sing it. And we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And we know, yes, we know, we don't think, but we know. We don't hope, but we know. We don't wish, but we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I was down in the southern state preaching, and I needed something, and I needed something in prayer, and I needed something from God. And I felt a little timid about asking God for it. It's a real big thing. I mean, I wanted I can't say it, but anyway, something real big. And then I got to thinking about Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. And I started singing, come boldly, come boldly, come boldly to the throne of God. Grace, come boldly, come boldly, come boldly to the Savior's face. I knew I made the mistake. I want to see if you catch it. Find mercy to help you in the time of need. Find mercy to help you bear the precious seed. And that's what I do. I've been singing recently, nearly every day. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I just sing it. I make up a song, make up a tune, never the same. Make it up, sing it. I mean, listen, brother, this is God's eternal word. Before there was ever a star in the sky, there was this book. Before there was ever a moon to shine or a sun to shine, before there was ever a world in God's galaxies, there was this book. Before there was ever a creature, before there was ever a breath breathed outside the breath of God Himself, and that's what this book is, the God-breathed book, there was this book. David said, what am I doing discouraged? I'm out here at the edge of town in a little suburb, and I'm just defeated and discouraged. And David said, why? And all of a sudden an old man comes up and he said, David, I got something for you. And David opened, and it was a care package. And David opens it, and there was some Longhorn cheese there. And there was some popcorn there, okie dokie popcorn there. And there were some crackers to put the cheese on. And there were some
some peanuts, and there was a little refreshment, some potato chips and so forth. And David said, "Isn't God good?" And then he got to ask himself, "Why am I cast down, O my soul? Why, O soul, art thou disquieted or troubled within me?" And David said, "Think I'll come out of it. I'll just think how good God's been to me." And I'll guarantee you this, and I'll close with this. I'll guarantee you, when you get discouraged, if you'll get you a piece of paper or a card and a pen, and you'll just start writing down the things you can think of that God has done for you, I'll guarantee you, if you've got any life in you, or if you're born again, you'll be having a spell within a few minutes. David said, "I'm discouraged and I don't understand it." He said, he first realized it. He admitted it. He was surprised by it. He told no one about it. He sought the cause. And he corrected it. And you can correct yours also. Brother, this book has the answer. And this book is the answer. Our Heavenly Father.